Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you. time is just not ordinary because we serve an extraordinary God. Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are so excited that you are here tonight.
Yes,
we bring greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. We give God all the praise, all the honor, and the glory because truly he deserves it. He's worthy of it. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Tonight we want to give a 5 seconds moment of silence to Mother Rini. She called about 2 weeks ago on the broadcast asking for prayer, and she transitioned this week. His brother Franny and Sylvia Franny's mother. So we want to give honor them with a moment of silence.
Amen.
We thank God for her life. Thank God for her. Thank God for her being in glory.
Yes.
No longer pain, no longer suffering, but she is in the presence of the Lord. And we thank God for his mercy and his grace towards her. And we pray, God, that you continue to bless and keep Brother Franny and strengthen him. And let the Lord, joy of the Lord be his strength, because we know God is the God of all comfort, and he will do just that. We thank God for, amen, tonight. We know God got a word for us tonight. Amen. And we're excited for what God is doing. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. Our leadership is Archbishop Ruth Smith. Thank God for Bishop Kevin, who's our lead pastor, and Pastor Decree. Our worship pastor, Tina Quinn, is our youth pastor. And we thank God for sustaining us even during these times.
Yes,
thank God for all the things that Light of the World are doing. We have our live streaming our services on Sunday at Sunday School at Sunday school at 9 a.m., and then our worship service at 10 a.m., and then on Wednesday we have a Bible study at 7 p.m. Tune in. Light of the World Stockbridge on YouTube. Go to Facebook. Amen. You will be blessed. Amen. God is still doing his thing.
Amen.
Amen. The church door might be closed to some people, but the church is well and alive. It's doing is what God has set us up to do. So we thank and praise God. For everything that he's doing, we pray that God continue to bless you, and especially you. And we pray that whatever you're dealing with tonight, that when you hear this word tonight, that you would find some hope. We know that God has an answer for all of us, no matter what we're seeking, no matter what our condition we're in. God wants us to know that don't give up on him, because he won't give up on you.
That's
he is able to do everything, exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or even think. So we thank and praise God for what he is doing, and we thank God for you who have been praying for me. Amen. We're still having some issues with my brother, but hopefully on next Wednesday we would have a viewing in the Bahamas and a service on next Thursday. So pray with that God will continue to let everything go decently in order, and we can have him resting. Amen. But we know he's already resting in the arms of the Lord. So we thank and praise God for all your prayers.
Amen.
That you have been doing. And we're going to have tonight the word from, our dear friend, our buddy, our awesome woman of God.
Yes, Lord.
Teacher, preacher. She is awesome.
Yes.
And we thank and praise God. Her name is Minister Nichelle Ford. We're going to ask her to press 1. On the phone so we can bring her live.
Yes.
Amen. So she can introduce herself and let us know what God got for us tonight.
Amen.
Good evening, Minister Ford.
Good evening. Good evening, Pastor Stephen and Pastor Ann. How are you both doing this evening? You all sound so wonderful. And it's just such an honor again to be able to be with you this evening. Can you all hear me just fine?
Ma'am, absolutely.
Amen, amen. This is such an amazing time, and I tell you, that song just spoke to my heart where, you know, this is no ordinary worship, and in this time and season, you can't have an ordinary worship, and that is such a powerful message, and I just wanted to make that point for all of us. Make sure that your worship in this season, in this time, if ever you thought about worshiping God, make it extraordinary, because these are extraordinary times, but we are still with a God who does extraordinary things. So our worship can't be anything but extraordinary. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And so with this evening, I'd like to go ahead and begin, as I always do, with just this mantra. And I'm going to ask all of you out there in radio land, even though I can't hear you, my heart hears you, but I'm going to ask you to repeat after me as you have your Bible in your hand, and just say this along with me. Just repeat this after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is the Word of God.
My Bible is the Word of God.
The Word of God is truth.
The Word of God is truth.
And truth can never be a lie.
Truth can never be a lie.
So whatever God says, it must come to pass.
Must come to pass.
Amen. Amen. And so
Amen.
I'm going to ask all of you, brothers and sisters out there, if you can just turn your Bible to Genesis 3, 18 through 19. That is where I'll be coming from this evening. Genesis 3, verses 8 through 19. And it reads as follows. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, brothers and sisters, just pray with me as I ask God's grace. O Lord our God, in our awesome wonder, we consider all the works thy hands have made. How great thou art! How great thou art! Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to bring your people together once again, that we may hear a word from you. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you continue to uplift our spirits as we move forward in you.
Touch your servant, Heavenly Father, that I may bring a word to your people, that it may be one of encouragement, one that will carry them, one that will be inspiring, and one that will bless them. We give you, God, all the glory. We give you all the honor. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this evening, I would like to come to you with the topic, Now What's Your Excuse? Again, now what's your excuse? This story of the temptation and the fall from grace of Adam and Eve is a very familiar one, story that we've heard many, many times before. We know that they began their lives in the Garden of Eden, knowing only about good things. They hadn't known anything about their nakedness, their own relationship, or about doing any wrong. Mm-hmm. They moved about the garden freely, without a care. Then without any introduction, here comes the serpent into their paradise. Mm-hmm. Because of their innocent nature, they saw no danger. Eve in particular saw no danger in engaging with the serpent. The serpent knew that they were innocent, like newborn babies. They hadn't known of the world. They hadn't fully experienced the world in which they were even living in. Eve didn't even have the idea or didn't even give pause to think that a snake shouldn't even have a voice. One thing she did know was there was a tree that was off limits to her and to Adam. God told Adam earlier in Genesis, in chapter 2 and 16, the Lord commanded the man, and Adam then told Eve. So how do we know that? And we know that because Eve didn't say God told her. She tells the serpent that God says, do not touch the tree. So in Genesis 3 and 2, it was really implied that she was not really given a straight directive from God, but it was told to her by Adam. The serpent knew that Eve was operating on hearsay of what Adam had said. And because it was hearsay to her, there was room for the placement of doubt, the room for placing a question in her head of what she had heard from Adam. The serpent still operates in the same way in us today.
Yeah.
He makes us question not only what we may have heard, but even at times what we see, and even what we know for certain about our God.
Amen.
Think about how many times that we may have been gripped by doubt or by fear by what has been said silently in our ear. Something that unleashes an uneasiness and confusion and just makes us unbalanced about things that we really do know for certain. For example, our professional skills, our knowledge about a test, our trust in our spouses, our loved ones, and yes, even what we know about who God is. It's all the work of the serpent. And so as the word tells us, after they ate the fruit from the tree of knowledge, their eyes were opened, and they learned that they were naked. When God, in verse 8, went looking for them in the garden, they hid themselves from him. And when he asked, why were they hiding? Adam answered, because we were naked. Now that act or position of nakedness put them in a place of being exposed and a place of vulnerability. Now, Eve, at that point, began that dance of excuses. So here it all begins. She was no slouch in the excuse-making department, because then when Adam, in verse 12, mentioned that the woman you, who you gave me, God, the woman that you gave me, she gave it to me. So he put the blame on her, have mercy. But Eve, she looked for another scapegoat. The snake, as it turned out, was her excuse.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 13, she says, the serpent deceived me, and I ate.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since, brother and sisters, ever since that time, we've been placing the blame for our misdeeds on someone else. Sometimes we even convince ourselves that to resist that temptation is just futile, and we just might as well go ahead and do the wrong. Because guess what? It can't be so wrong when it feels so right. Y'all know what I mean?
Uh-oh.
So in that moment, the one thing that they learned, other than that they were naked, Adam and Eve I'm talking about, the other thing they learned was how to make excuses. Now, making excuses is something, since that time, we've learned to do very well. Why is that? Because just like children, our children, learn behavior from us, we learn that behavior from our parents, Adam and Eve, right at the beginning of time. So now we have excuses, Lord have mercy, for everything. Some of us use them so frequently that we believe that it's the way that we should operate in the world. The problem with that is that when we give an excuse, we are actually attempting to legitimize our fault and our imperfection. And in doing so, we are defending or justifying our actions of what we did wrong.
Amen.
We make excuses for our actions at work. We make up excuses for our actions at home. We make up excuses for our personal relationships. We make up excuses for everything and to everybody. And like Eve, we even have excuses for God.
Mm.
So now, brothers and sisters, now, what's our excuse? What is our excuse? There are many kinds of excuses. And as Christians, we use them with God all the time. And I've been able to, as I contemplated about the excuses we use in our daily life, I've realized they are the same excuses that we've given to God. We don't even realize that when we use them, we also are giving an underlying message and meaning that's very, really deep down at the very core of that excuse. And in that way, we are now interrupting the relationship that we have with our God. So I've narrowed, brothers and sisters, I've narrowed down these excuses that we quite frequently have used in our relationship with the Lord. And I've narrowed them down to five. And so here we go. Excuse number one. I don't have enough time. This excuse of not having enough time enables us, it gives us the reason to walk away without having any further thought of fulfilling the work that we've been asked to do. Excuse number two, I don't have any money. This excuse frees us from the obligation of a financial commitment and even sometimes the guilt that we may feel when we don't give money. Excuse number three, I don't have the education. This excuse gives us permission to be passive to the actions that are tied to an activity. One, we feel other qualified people can take the lead, and then it gives us the permission to take a back seat and follow. Excuse number four, I'm too old or I'm too young.
Mm.
Now, this allows room for error and impatience to set in. And as a result, the expectation of the standard now is lowered because now there's room for mistake. And excuse number five, I just don't know how.
Mm.
This excuse releases us from having the responsibility to engage or follow through with an assignment. That way we don't have to expend any energy that we might need in order to learn something new.
Mm.
And again, while these are excuses that we can use day in and day out, we also are using these with God. We see in other situations in the Bible where an excuse was used to explain away an underhanded action. So, for example, in Genesis 29 and 26, Laban was a trickster with two daughters, Leah and Rachel. I've spoken about Leah before. Jacob was a traveler who quickly fell head over heels in love with Rachel, so much so that he agreed to work 7 years to win her hand in marriage. At the appointed time, Laban threw a big wedding, and Jacob enjoyed an intimate night with whom he thought was Rachel. But in the morning, it was Leah. So when Jacob then questioned Laban, he proceeded to give an excuse. Well, it must be done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. So at that point, what was Jacob going to do? He had to agree to work another 7 years in order to marry Rachel. At one of the most serious moments in biblical history, in the book of Exodus, Moses' brother Aaron came up with an excuse that could be considered actually downright laughable. After meeting with the Lord on Mount Sinai, Moses came down to find the Israelites cavorting around a golden calf. He berated his brother and said to Aaron, who had overseen the making of this false god, he said to him, "Aaron, what are you doing?" And caught right in the middle of it, what did Aaron say? In chapter 32, verse 23, Aaron says, For they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. So brothers and sisters, really, what was he saying? Well, people asked him to do this and even donated his jewelry, he explained. But what he was basically saying to Moses was, it was the people. They made me do it. Believing that that excuse would pardon his sinful actions. So when you think about maybe those of you that have young children and happen to be that a window may end up broken, and they come to you and say, well, Mom or Dad, The window just broke by itself. Or when someone tells the auto insurance company, well, that other car, you know, it just came out of nowhere and hit me. Or when you say maybe to someone at work, when you're at work, well, how did that video game get on my computer when I'm supposed to be working? We know now that this is all just rooted in biblical precedent. It's certainly not your fault where excuses came from. You came by it honest. There's a good reason. So with that said, that word reason, let us consider closely the word excuse and reason. We've established that people often give excuses, and they also give reasons. Although they are used interchangeably from time to time to give explanations, they really are different. It is so important that we try not to confuse the use of those two words because they are different. When we give a reason for our action, we are giving what should be a logical defense for that action. It should be giving something a valid justification or a cause for why we've done what we've done. So when Eve gave in to the temptation and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, when God asked her what happened, she blamed the serpent. That was not a reason. She gave an excuse.
That's right.
When Adam took and ate of the tree and he blamed it on Eve, he gave an excuse, not a reason.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, neither one took responsibility for their actions. And taking personal responsibility is an act of maturity. It is one that comes along as we get mature, get seasoned, and grow in the Lord.
Mm.
It is an action that's hard. It is hard to be responsible. It's hard to stand up and say, okay, let me tell you exactly what I did. Nobody save us doing it. Why? Because nobody wants to feel bad about themselves. Being willing to admit your fault or being willing to be accountable is the way that you become responsible. Now, this makes me think about Flip Wilson. Y'all remember Flip Wilson? That comedian way back in the day. And he used to have a variety show. And he had a famous phrase that he would use with his character named Geraldine.
Mm-hmm.
And he, when he would be in character, would say, "The devil made me do it."
Uh-huh.
Now, nobody more than Eve had the right to use the phrase, "The devil made me do it." So I say to you, brothers and sisters, at this point, what's your excuse? As we consider our role in the kingdom, what is your excuse? Where do you stand? We have a responsibility to the kingdom on so many levels, and this is the place where we make the most excuses. In the work of the kingdom, there's always an excuse. But we should never have an excuse to do the work for our Heavenly Father. Season of time, as we shelter in place, God now has removed many, if not all, of the excuses that we can think of that would keep us from seeing, honoring, and worshiping him. Amen?
Amen.
Now, what's your excuse? No time? Now, you got plenty of time. You got more than enough time to give him glory and to seek his face. Too much to do? Too much of work on your plate? Now, you don't have the distraction. He has removed the distraction for each and every one of us as we shelter in. Don't have the knowledge? You've got the time to read. And what do you need? You need to read the Word. Use the Word. It offers you all the wisdom and all the guidance that you need in this season. Let's think about this. So how do we begin to avoid making excuses? Because they come so easy. But in this time and season, as we begin to really understand that what the time that we have now is in developing our relationship with God, this is a way for us to begin to understand what we need to do to remove the excuses in order that we can become closer in our relationship with God. So here are three ways that I believe that can happen. First, don't get caught up. Before Eve was even created, Satan tried to rebel against God, and he was cast out from his high place. Now, in this story, he tries it again with someone who is fascinated with his approach. It is the same fascinating approach that he takes with us. And I found it so amazing that Bishop Kevin last week used this phrase, and it was so on point with where I was going with this sermon this Saturday, because Bishop Kevin said that the devil will fascinate before he assassinates. And it is His fascination that the serpent did his work in Eve. The word, remember, tells us that was her excuse. The serpent deceived me. That was the fascination. And that fascination will often come to us in the form of deceit.
Yes.
She fell for the okey-doke. She got caught up.
Mm-hmm.
Satan will always come with a penchant to fascinate you, to dangle something interesting and shiny before your eyes, something new, something different. Just place something in your mind.
Mm.
Don't get caught up. Recognize the game. Eve ended up being confused, and the devil made her believe that what she was told that God had said was false. He wanted her to not only distrust his word, he wanted her to think that she could be like him. And that is what the devil will do. He will catch us up in something that is not believable. Number two. Don't cover it up. Pointing or putting out a show of innocence is often the first reaction to guilt. So we want to point out our innocence. Now, if we get caught up, now we got to say, well, wait a minute, who, me? I did that? Are you sure it was me? Then the cover-up begins. Adam and Eve's reaction in verse 8 was really ridiculous, and I'm going to tell you why. They hid themselves. The word tells us that. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden. Now, God made them. He was God, and therefore, he knew everything. But he knew especially everything about them. So do you think that they're hiding in the garden, or did they think they're hiding in the garden, that God didn't know where they were? Verse 10, Adam said in response to God's call, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.
My.
They may have felt like they were hiding, but there was no legitimate way to conceal themselves from God.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, God knew them better than they knew themselves. They, meaning Adam and Eve, weren't thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the same thing for us. As Adam and Eve were afraid of being naked and exposed before God then, we are still afraid of being naked and exposed before God now.
Mm.
Our clothes actually are the present day representation of our covering up of our sin.
Mm. My Lord.
To cover up our wrongdoing, just like Adam and Eve, or being exposed of our sinful ways, is foolish. We're attempting to cover up what God already knows. God made us. He knows everything about us. So what exactly do we think we're hiding? And better yet, who do we think we are hiding from? So again, we're looking to not get caught up and don't cover it up. And the last point I have is confess our wrong. Confession has always been a Christian practice. And without it, we can't move from that place of guilt and condemnation to a place of hope and healing. In this time, this is exactly what we need. We need that sense of confession, that act of confession, in order to bring our hearts, bring what our heart is actually craving from our God in heaven. And that is the renewal of a relationship with Him. It's the same thing that Adam and Eve were after. When they committed that act of sin, not only did they feel the shame, they felt an impending sense of punishment that was coming from God.
Mm-hmm.
And God did say to them, "You shall surely die." And that was, of course, the consequence of the action. But even more so, what they felt, which was even worse, was the separation that they now had from God. And we are the same way. When we engage in a sinful act towards someone and we become exposed in that act, as both Adam and Eve were, we experience a sense of separation or a brokenness through that hurt that was caused by that action to that person. As a result, we then seek, or we should seek, to mend that relationship. In the book of Joshua, chapter 7, verse 9, Joshua spoke to Achan about his sin, that sin that the Canaanites and the Israelites both committed. And he said to him, "Give glory to the Lord of Israel by telling the truth. Make your confession and tell me what you have done. Don't hide it from me." In the very same way, God is our Father in heaven, as our Father, doesn't want us to hide our sin, but He wants us to confess it to Him. By telling Him the truth and not giving excuses to Him, we are glorifying our God. So when we don't tell the truth and we give excuses, who are we actually glorifying? We need to confess to Him what we've done wrong. And in doing so, we are now glorifying Him. And we are now ready to rebuild the relationship that we want with Him. In this time, in this season, that is what we should be looking deep down to do, to figure out what we need to do to right the wrongs so we can be in righteous relationship with our God. Maybe you're not like me. Maybe you don't think you've done anything. Maybe I know I've done some things wrong. But maybe you don't think you've done anything wrong. Perhaps you haven't been so patient with people. Perhaps you haven't prayed. Perhaps you haven't been kind. Perhaps you haven't been honest. Perhaps you haven't tithed. Perhaps you haven't believed as you should. In Romans 1 and 20, the New Living Translation, it tells us, ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. They have no excuse for not knowing God. What is your excuse? Tell him you're sorry for not truly recognizing who he is in all his glory and all his majesty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, because glory to God. Through his son Jesus, we've gotten a bridge. We've received a bridge that can close the gap of that inevitable separation that our sin causes between us and God. That provisional bridge through Christ Jesus frees us up to stop making excuses, to confess, to ask for forgiveness, to accept forgiveness, and to go on with life, free and unashamed. Because in our fallen state, we are now then restored and reunited in that right relationship with God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for paying it all on the cross for us.
Yes.
That's what he did for you, and he did it for me. So during this season, brothers and sisters, as we continue to shelter in, we need to begin to, as Bishop Kevin tells us, in our refocusing, as we refocus, let's take responsibility without excuses, without giving reasons, and don't get caught up. Don't cover it up and confess it all. And you'll be ready, my Lord, to deepen your relationship with our Father in heaven. Let's have no more excuses. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We thank God for this word tonight. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank God, man. This is awesome. What is your excuse? Because I'm telling you, we could find some excuse for anything. Because we don't want to do one thing you said, don't want to take responsibility.
That's right.
And so we thank God for these 3 points. Mm. Don't get caught up, cover up, and just confess our wrong. Amen. If we do that, we'll be all right. And you know, when you tell the truth about things, it frees you. You know, it gives you freedom. So we thank and praise God for this word. We know that you have been blessed tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Press 1 on your phone. We bring you live so you can give a comment on this word tonight. Mm-hmm. Or you can ask for prayer. We have a call in queue. Your area code is 404, and the last 4 digits is 3588. You're now live on the air, caller.
Hey. I just wanted to
How you doing?
The word was... Good. I'm doing good. The word was so awesome, and I was driving from seeing my mom, so the kids were listening. So it was a topic that they knew with Adam and Eve. They started asking questions, and they was very interested, so we just made it home. But it was such an awesome word, and I wanted to just share about this not making excuses, especially during this time we've been at home, because I did the 1 hour, the National Day of Prayer for 1 hour. And when I originally signed up, I was like the third person to sign up. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can sit at home and pray in my room, you know, while I'm at house. And then when I got the email saying that we had to call and pray on the line, I was like, oh, no, how can I get out of this? So I'm like, okay, what can I message? What can I message Kenya and say? Should I say I got a mandatory meeting at 11:30 and I can't do it? I was like, I don't want to pray on no line. I thought I could just pray at home. And I heard the Lord say, ain't no excuses. And so I didn't answer. So I said, no. He kept saying no. I was like, man, I still ain't sent the email. What should I say? I said, should I find me a partner? Because it was just my name on there. And I kept looking. Nobody signed up with me. So I'm like, oh, my God. And so when I actually called in, I heard six people on the line. I was like, oh, Jesus, you're going to have to help me with this. And so, but it was so awesome because I immediately said, let me pray. I'm like, Lord, I pray that I decrease so you may increase so I can pray this hour. But it was such a rewarding experience, and the Lord really moved on that call. And I prayed for 1 hour. I'm like, oh, my God. And so I'm so glad that I did do it, and I did not make any excuses when I was going to, but I'm so glad that I was able to do it, and the Lord helped me every step of the way. And so I'm truly grateful. So this was a great topic about the excuses. And then another thing I just want to say, prayer request, pray for Jacob. This was not a really good week for him. It's been a really rough week, so pray for him. And then also pray for my husband. He's been dealing a lot with high blood pressure. So it's been staying up consistently. And they end up putting him on a medication, and it's still staying up. So he's really, it's really taking a toll on him. So just please keep him in prayer because he's concerned, and it's really taking a toll on him. So just keep us lifted in prayer. Thank you. Amen. Awesome.
We definitely gonna go ahead and do that. Minister Nichelle, you want to go ahead and pray for Justin?
Yes. Father God, in this time and in this hour, we lift up the name, Heavenly Father, of your servants, Jacob and Justin, Lord. We ask that you touch Jacob and that help him to understand, Heavenly Father, that where he is by purpose, by your purpose, Heavenly Father. And whatever is happening to him, Heavenly Father, is only just molding and shaping him in order to do what you would have him to do, Heavenly Father. Help him to stay strong and to know, Heavenly Father, that he is only coming through the place where you have brought him through, and that where he is supposed to end up is exactly where he is supposed to be, Lord. Help him to continue to trust in you and to know that where he is exactly the way he's supposed to be. Help him to understand, Heavenly Father, that your word is necessary in times like these. Help him, Heavenly Father, to understand that by leaning on your word, he will be able to be strengthened and fed in the word. Help him not to forget, Heavenly Father, that you will never leave him nor forsake him, and that you are always there for him, Heavenly Father. Help him to remember who you are. Help him to remember who you are, and that he will always, always be within your reach, never far from your reach. We lift up, Heavenly Father, also Deacon Justin. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you touch him, that you touch his body, Heavenly Father, that he is able to be healed, that his medication will take heed and will hold him and react in his body the way, Heavenly Father, that it needs to be. We ask, Heavenly Father, that he understand that this is only a season of time just to get him in a place where he is able to be in a healthy place. Help him to lean on you also, Heavenly Father. Know that everything happens for a reason, but we know, Heavenly Father, that you have your hand on the doctor's hand, and because of the talent that you have placed in that doctor, that we know that you are a healer. We know, Heavenly Father, that you are a healer, and we trust and believe that all is going to be fine with him, with your servant, Heavenly Father. We thank you for his wife, Heavenly Father, because she is a true servant, and she looks to support her husband and her family. She is just She is willing and able to do the work that you have placed before her. Help her to continue to know that you love her, and that you are always there for her, and you are never too far from her. We give you glory, God. We lift your name up. We thank you. We thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, so much. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We don't have anybody else in queue. We know we got a whole lot of people out there, amen, that heard this word tonight. And
I know you've been blessed.
Amen. We thank God for that testimony from Sister Yumika. Amen. What an awesome testimony.
Yeah.
Amen. And we all get in a place where sometimes we're like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to make excuses. But God, through, amen, a perfect example
mm-hmm.
of how we attempted, but we don't have to yield to that temptation. And she came through it with flying colors, and God's going to bless you. He's going to reward you for your labor of love, and I thank God for you. Keep on doing what you're doing. You are doing an awesome job. You're an awesome wife, an awesome mother, and thank God for your persistence, amen, and your faithfulness. So remain faithful, and God will continue definitely to bless and keep you. And we thank God for this word again tonight from Minister Michelle.
Thank you.
What an awesome word. We know what we're going to get, amen, when we know that you're going to be up speaking. We thank God for
thank you.
God blessing up with some speakers who are really anointed by God.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
And Pastor Ann, we thank God for you.
We thank God for you, the both of you. Because you, again, as my husband and I speak about how you all have been in this work, this particular ministry, for 10 years, and what a work you have done. And I'm sure there have been times and places where you all wanted to give excuses, where you didn't want to get on every Saturday evening in order to bring a word to the people. I know it becomes so challenging to stay committed to doing this work. And so we lift you up and thank God for you and say how blessed we are that you continue your commitment and your work in doing this ministry in order to bring us the opportunity to bring the word to the people of God. So we thank God for you both. We thank God for the both of you. We appreciate
your love, and
amen.
I still see you all out in front of my door from yesterday doing your drive-by. I appreciate that. And we want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers
out there.
We want to say Happy Mother's Day to you, and thank you for tuning in on tonight. Truly, we are so grateful, and we are so grateful for our church, the Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, and we are so grateful. You can tune in tomorrow on YouTube and at 9 o'clock, and also at 10 o'clock on tomorrow. We are so grateful for this mighty, powerful word on tonight, Ms. Michelle. We are grateful for it, and we thank you for keeping us in your prayers and keeping us lifted up. And we pray for each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. We pray for you on tonight, and we give all God all the glory and all the praise for you. Amen.
Amen. And again, we honor and we gave that moment of silence for Mother Shirley Freeney, amen, who went on to be with the Lord. But we thank God for her son and her daughter-in-law today and his sister, that they would be strengthened and the joy of the Lord would
be
their strength. Amen. Because these are hard times, and especially tomorrow being Mother's Day.
Yeah.
So we pray, God, that God would let the joy of the Lord be his strength, and he would have boldness and rejoice in the time that he had with his mom. So we thank and praise God for everybody that tuned in tonight. We love God for you. We thank God for
thank
the fours. Amen. Thank God for
thank
all
you.
Of you in the name of Jesus. We thank God for Sister Yumika. She's been with us, I think, all these 10 years she's been with us. Amen. So we thank God for her faithfulness.
Yeah.
We ask God to bless all of you in the name of Jesus. Enjoy your Mother's Day. Enjoy your mother. If she's not here, she's in heaven. And you can rejoice over that, because that's the place we all want to be.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We prefer being there than being in this world, especially these day and time.
My
so
Lord.
We want you to tell your neighbors, tell your friends that every Saturday night at at 8 p.m. to dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield.